WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. So excited to be with you today. Look, this is my hat I got from my daughter for my 50th birthday. I'm so excited. You know, actually, I used to wear hats all the time. I haven't wore a hat in a long time, so this is a treat. Listen, today we are studying Deuteronomy. I am so excited to go into Deuteronomy. Why? Because we just finished Numbers, and we are learning how the children of Israel are going into their promised land. Listen, we have been with them. We've been with them through the judgment. We've been with them through the judgment of Egypt. We saw how God protected them through their judgment. Then they went through a purification process. Do you hear this by the Spirit? They went through the judgment, which was cleaning house. Now they're going through the purification process of going through the wilderness, cleaning their hearts, cleaning house, God laying down the law. This is who you are. This is what you're to do from the right to the left, letting them know, okay? Then, now, they're stepping into their promised land. Now, we know before we even get started in Deuteronomy that God told Moses, He's not going to allow Moses to step over into the promised land. Isn't that sad, Bride? After he went through all that and he held the children, he held them crossing through the wilderness, and now he's not going to be able to go in to the promised land. And what did we learn in the last few chapters of Numbers? There was two of the children, Gad and what was the other one? Not Judah. It was Gad and some other one. But they wanted to not go in. Remember? They wanted some land they saw before they received their inheritance. They wanted to go out here, but when they brought it before Moses, Moses told them, you need to go in, let us get established, and then you can go back out and have the land that you want. So basically, they went in, they honored God, they received the inheritance from God, and then they went back out to the land that they wanted. Okay? So today, we're going to start in Deuteronomy. And listen, Brian, we said we have got 6 days. 6 days to finish Deuteronomy. And we are going to do this every day. I'm going to do this so that we can get this finished, Deuteronomy, before I go to Washington, D.C. I mean, I'm on the edge of my seat. If I could, I would just do Deuteronomy all day long because I want to see what happens. Remember, in Deuteronomy, Moses is with them through this whole book. Moses is with them, and Moses is going to talk to them about where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be doing while they're in the Promised Land. And then at the end, Moses died, and I'm going to be very sad when Moses dies in chapter 34. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started over here. All right, so we are actually going to use Bible Gateway, and we're going to go to Deuteronomy. I'm so excited. All right, so let's go Deuteronomy. Let me get my little mouse in here. All right, so Deuteronomy, and then we're going to go to chapter 1. Where did we get up here? Okay, here we go. All right. Let's see here. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let me bring my little screen down here. All right. So, let's scroll on down here. Don't y'all love digging in the Word? All right, here we go. Alright, these be the words which Moses spoke unto all Israel on this side Jordan. Let me see if I can get this fixed right, Brian. Hold on. Hold on a second here. I know what I can do. Hold on, Brian. Let's go ahead and make this screen to right. Well, let's make, go ahead and make it a big screen. And then let me do something. Okay, so it says, these be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side. In the wilderness, in the plain, over against the Red Sea, between Parah and Tophel, and Laban, and Hazeroth, and Dizabeth. There are 11 days journey from Horeb, by the way of Mount Seir, unto Kadesh-Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke unto the children of Israel, according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt in Ashtaroth in Edrei, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, all right, Brad, let's hear what Moses has got to say here. The Lord our God spoke unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough on the mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places now possess the land. Oh my goodness, they're going in, Brian. They're going in. Oh my, I'm so your prize. Now remember, Brian, this is the elders, the chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them head this too. And I commanded you at that time all the things. Let's see, Mr. Is it up? There it is. And I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto Hazael, go, do, act, as the Lord God of your... It had to have been just plush and beautiful there. Then I said unto you, dread not, come on now. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen, as a man does bear his son, and all the way that you went until you went to this place, we do not consider how God has went before us. And that is what he is saying right here. He has went before us. He has prepared the way. He has made things happen. And then I think about the tour last year, the mega revival tour. Surely there shall none of these men of this evil generation see that good which I swear to give to your fathers, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh. So basically, this is Moses reminding me, isn't it? Alright, let me go back over here. And chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So you abode in Kadesh many days, one in Deuteronomy. So let's go to Deuteronomy 2. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spoke unto me, saying, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward, and command thou the people, saying, you are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore, meddle not with them. Here we go again about the do not mix. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. You shall buy meat of them for money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water of them for money that you may drink. For the Lord thy God has blessed thee in all the works of thy hands. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God has been with thee, and thou hast lacked nothing. Come on now, that is good preaching too. And when we passed by, well, wait a minute, I want to pause right there. All right, when it says, thou hast lacked nothing. All right, Brad, let's consider the times that the children of Israel complained. Lord, you brought us over here without meat. We don't have meat. We are tired of eating bread. You know, that's what they say. We're tired of eating bread. We're tired of eating this manna. Every day it's the same old thing. It's just manna and water. And do you know God got so mad? And this is the personality of God. It is so funny. You know what God did? He's like, all right, I'm going to show you suckers. What? I'm going to give you. I mean, I can just hear God talking to them right now. I'm going to give you exactly what you want, suckers. So this is what I say. Quail! Quail! Come out of the sea! That's what he said. And then mountains of quails start coming. And they come over to the children of Israel. And they pile up. I mean, pile up. And people are gorging themselves. They are just eating these quails. Eat. And God got so mad and cursed them. He said, "All right, I'm going to give you a plague. All of you is lusting after this because you complained against my provision." And see, it says right there, and I've been guilty of this, Brian. I'm just telling you because I have been there. I understand where the children of Israel were coming from. And it's not right, because what it does is it exposes something in our heart that needs to be dealt with. Okay? It exposed it. So, he says here, you lacked nothing. Yes, they didn't lack nothing. They had food. They had manna. They had water. But they wanted the more. They remembered Egypt. Picture this, bride. Hear what I'm saying by the Spirit. They remembered what they had, even in their lack in Egypt, which was meat. They wanted that meat. So when God says here, you lacked nothing, people, they didn't. And the same for me. I receive it, Lord, and repent again. Before all my friends, I repent again. Because even though we're lacking, you know, what we feel is lack, why do we feel is lack? Because we remember what the other side was, type of deal. Right? Am I right, bride, or am I right? And so he's saying, you have lacked nothing. So forgive us for our wantings and our lustings and our expectations and our wanting the more. Okay? Alright, so let's go on here. We're in verse 8. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 8. And when we passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the plain from Elath and from Ezion-Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. The Emims dwelt therein in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, which also were accounted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites called them Emims. The Horims also dwelt in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them. Now rise up, said I, and get you over the brook Zered. And we went over the brook Zered. And the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered was 38 years. What? Wow. 38 years, bride. Until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out from among the host, as the Lord sware unto them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them, to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. So it came to pass, when all the men of war were giants, giants dwelt therein in old time, and the Ammonites called them Zamzumimins. Remember, bride, when it talks about giants, you know what I think of is when those fallen angels came forth out of Kaphtor, destroyed them, and dwelt in their stead. Rise ye up, take your journey, pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. So he's telling them, this one, I want you to go to battle. I want you to take that land. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations, that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee, and shall tremble, and be in anguish because of thee. See, bride, remember what I was telling you in the Ezekiel Bible study? And I'm going to pause here, and I'm going to try to explain this right here. And even to you that are listening on WATB Radio, I'm going to try to say it where you can have a visual of what I'm talking about. Okay, if you take, let me see if I can find something. Well, here we go. Well, I can just say it. Here we go. If you have a little circle, okay, let's say this is the temple. Let's take a nucleus. In the middle is a circle. It's the temple of God. And this is the children of Israel in the wilderness, okay? And then God is in the temple. You have the Ark of the Covenant, and they're in the temple. Okay, then you have the Levites, which is a children of Israel. They're one of the tribes, is in the tabernacle. Okay, they're in there. Now, they are the stewards of it. They are the ones that take care of the children of Israel to God. They take care of the temple. Okay, on the outside of the temple, on the outside of the nucleus, all around it, is the other 11 tribes. Okay? These are the 11 tribes of Israel. These are the ones on the outside of the nucleus that have access to the inheritance. Levi, that's on the inside that takes care of the temple, does not have access to the inheritance. Why? Because he is the inheritance. These that are all around take care of Levi. They take care of the temple. See what I mean? So whatever these people got, they're to give 10% into here. Okay? So you take all this group of the children of Israel. They're like in a dome. This is the way I explain it. They're in a dome of protection. The Lord showed me this in a vision, is why I say it. They're in a dome of protection. They are God's chosen, his anointed, his protection. Led by fire, led by the cloud. See what I mean? They are protected. God may whip them, kill them, you know, go through his judgments, smack them around a little bit, call so far. Look at the relationship they have with God. Here's Abraham. God comes down himself and talks to Abraham. And Abraham had more. When you got all these good people in there. So God looks like, yeah, how many good people you think are in there, Abraham? Well, I think there has to be at least 50. I mean, surely, don't you think there's just 50 in there? Okay, all right, Abraham. If you think there's 50, I will not destroy Lot. I mean, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for 50, okay? Well, and then here's Abraham over there thinking, well, you know, you may be right, so what about if there's just 40? All right, well, God, what about 40? All right, Abraham, if you think a whole city. All right. So, and they wasn't even right. Wife had so much sin in her, she couldn't get it out of her and turned around and had to look at the king of Heshbon with words of peace saying. Oh, so what I was saying about that, about all their relationships, is that they were the protected group under this dome, and everybody else in the world were God tells them to do, the whole world looks at what kind of God is that? See what I mean? So that's what he tells them in Ezekiel. You heard my name. You didn't go by my rules. You didn't even defend my rules to people. And that's what's happening today with false prophets. They are embarrassed. As the children of Esau which dwelled in Seir, and the Moabites which dwelled in Ar did unto me, until I shall pass over Jordan into the land which the Lord our God gives us. But Sihon, king, would not let us pass by him, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit. Come on. Because we have a lot of rain here today, and I want to make sure that the internet continue here in Deuteronomy 3. Okay, then we turned and went up the way to Bashan. And Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us. What? He and all his people to battle at a draw. What is this man thinking? And the Lord said unto me, fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into your hands. And thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So the Lord our God delivered into our hand Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people. And we smote him until none was left to him remaining. Now, Bride, I just want to pause here right quick, because I want to say this about the false Christ is coming. Now, when we read this about how God told him to destroy cities, people, children, wives, this God is the one that the Antichrist is going to have the world, this universalist Christ that they're doing right now. They're going to have them all turn against this Bible. They're going to say what a mean, hateful God this is. I mean, look, Bride, look how people are doing, even in the church. People that speak truth and talk about God's heart, about sin and judgment, and look how they treat them. And this, I'm talking about just from within the church, much less what the universal Christ is going to do. Yes, he's going to be called Christ. It's a universal Christ. Christ consciousness, a world leader that is going to be the anointed one, the Messiah. How do you think he's going to come on the scene? Unless the church is in oneness, unity. That's the universal Christ. The universal church is going to welcome this man on the scene. So I'm just telling you this because as I'm reading these scriptures, and we're hearing how these people went into these countries and took the land for the name of God. See, they're going to say, that was the problem with that God. He's the reason of all the wars. He's an evil God. That's what they're going to say, Brad. And they're going to label you the same way. The question is, are you going to be able to stand up in the day of judgment? In the day of the separation of the wheat and tares, which is happening right now, are you going to be able to stand in the midst of the great persecution that's coming? Because these people, do you think they just in their natural self wanted to go around and just kill all these people, even children? The Bible says if you love your family more than God, if you love anything more than God, you're not worthy of the kingdom. That's why. Because God makes the rules and we go by what he says. It's just the way it is. He's holy, he's just, and he can't be around sin, and there's a price to pay. And even in my case, when I've sinned, I know there's consequences, and I accept the consequences because I did it. And that's just the way Christianity is. When you make a mistake, you're going to pay the price for it. Amen? Alright, so let's go to verse 4. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we took not from them. Wow! Come on now! We took it all! That's what he's saying. 70 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan. All these cities were fenced with high walls. What?! Come on now, Bride, do you see this? This is awesome. They went up against these mighty kingdoms. Wow. High walls, gates, and bars. Beside unwalled towns, a great many. Wow. And these are the children of Israel that didn't have anything. People, you got to remember, these are the people that have traveled from city to city to city. All these years, they didn't have a town. They didn't have a built fort. You see what I'm saying? All they had was their tent, their temple. And they went and took all this out. Hats off to them. That is some awesome war right there. Okay, besides unwalled towns, a great many. And we utterly destroyed them. As we did unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroyed the men, women, and children of every city. But all the cattle and the spoil of the cities we took for a prey to ourselves. And we took at that time of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites the land that was on this side Jordan, from the river of Arnon unto Mount Hermon, which Hermon the Sidians called Sirion, and the Amorites called it Shinar. All the cities of the plain, and all Gilead, and all Bashan, unto Salca and Edrea, cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Wow! Behold his behest. Behold his his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabith of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. And this land which we possessed at that time, from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, and half Mount Gilead, and the cities thereof, gave I unto the Reubenites and unto the Gadites. And the rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half tribe of Manasseh. All the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which was called the land of giants. Wow! Jair, the son of Manasseh, took all the country of Argob unto the coast of Geshuri and Makathi, and called them after his own name, Bashan Havoth Jair, unto this day. And I gave Gilead unto Makar. And unto the Reubenites and unto the Gadites I gave from Gilead even unto the river Arnon, half the valley, and the border even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. The plain also, the Jordan, and the coast thereof, from Shinnereth even unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, under Ashdoth Pisgah, eastward. And I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess it. You shall possess overarmed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for the war. But your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know that you have much cattle, shall abide in your cities which I have given you, all, until the Lord hath given rest unto your brethren, as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God has given them beyond Jordan. And then you shall return every man unto his possession which I have given you. Wow. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whether thou passest. Wow. So the Lord's letting him know, don't worry about a thing, Joshua. I am going to take care of you and your crew. You shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. Woo! Come on now. Fired up, bam in your face, devil. Yes, Lord. Fight for us. Come on now. Woo! Does that fire you up bright or what? Oh! Also, Brad, I want to point it out how, okay, we've waited all this time for them to get to the promised land, have we not? We have went months where they have done all the preparations, went through the wilderness, got out of Egypt. Now they're going into the promised land, and guess what is happening as they're going in the promised land, Brad? What is happening? War! Spiritual war! We can learn from this. When we're going into our battle land, into our promised land, we're going to have to fight. There is a war taking place, honey, and we got to stand up and fight. But the Lord promises us right there in verse 22. The Lord your God will fight for you. Yes, Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. That fires me up. All right, let's go on. Verse 23. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness. Really? Duh! Come on! And thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to your works and according to your might? Woo! I know that's right. Come on now. I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. Wow, I can just hear this now. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes. What? And would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. What? Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward, and northward, and southward, and eastward. And behold it with your eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. What? What did he do wrong? What am I missing here? I thought he was bragging on God. What did he do wrong? Maybe the tale is here. Let's see here. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. For he shall go over before his people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So we abode in the valley over against Bethpor. There must be something I'm missing here. I thought he was bragging on God. What am I missing? Then we turned and went up to the way to Bethshem. And Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people. Blah, blah, blah. It's going down. All the cities were high walls. They utterly destroyed them, but all the cattle. And the cities of the plain, cities of the king of Bashan, for only Og, king of Bashan, remained in the remnant of giants. Okay, so let's scroll on down. And I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess it. You shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for the war. But your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall abide in your cities, until the Lord has given you rest unto your brethren, as well as unto you, and unto they also possess the land which the Lord your God has given you. Go beyond the river, and then you shall return, every man to his possession which I have given you. Okay? And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all the Lord our God has done unto these two kings, so God will do it for you, and he's going to fight for you. And I was, oh, this is Moses. Okay, all right. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, now this is Moses, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over, and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, the goodly mountain in Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more of me in this matter. Oh, I see what happened now, okay? Because remember, God had punished Moses and told him he could not go over. So I guess he was pleading with God one more time. Aw. All right, let's move on to Deuteronomy 4. That is sad that he doesn't get to go in, isn't it, bro? But that was his punishment. Even high rulers, we can fall. All right, so here we go. We're on Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you. Okay, so this is Moses talking to Israel about the statutes and the judgments and what to do when they go in the land to possess it. This all be good. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Well, that reminds me what it says in Revelation chapter 22. You're not to add a word to the Bible and you're not to take away a word. All right, so now we're on verse 3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that has followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God has destroyed them from among you. Okay, God's our defender. But you that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Oh, come on now. Verse 5, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. Now, bride, this is to us that's going in the promised land. We've got to hear this. Okay? We're in verse 6. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all the nations, which you shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who has God so nigh unto them all as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? All. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of your life, but teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. In other words, don't forget the deliverance that happened. Don't forget how I brought you through the wilderness supernaturally. That's what God's saying right there. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me all the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children all. Yes, Lord, and that's what I say about us in this Bible study, bride. We are asking God to take this word that we're reading, we're studying and delving in and living from Genesis all the way to Revelation, that God would bring this word to life to us, that the Holy Spirit would illuminate it to us, and we would live it like step back in time with them, and that the word would be buried deep into our hearts. That we would literally eat the scrolls. And that is what I receive on that part right there. So that we'll never forget it and teach our children. Verse 11. And you came near and stood under the mountain. And the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. You know what he's doing there, bride? He is reminding them of his mighty showing out. Remember when he did that? And I'm like, look at God showing out today. That's what he did. He was showing out. And the Lord spoke unto you out of the midst of the fire. And you heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. And only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land where you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spoke unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves. Wow, let me pause right there. Right there. We're going into the promised land. God is talking to us right now. Okay? What we need to do to keep that promised land. do not corrupt yourselves. Bride, I can just hear you asking, what is corruption? Well, let's just Google this. I'm going to type it in, corruption. Let's see what the official definition is, according to them anyway. I say corruption's mixing, tainting, getting dirty, corrupting it. Okay, it said corruption is a noun. It's dishonest or fraudulent conduct by those in power, typically involving bribery. The process by which something, typically a word or expression, is changed from its original use, there you go, or meaning to one that is regarded as erroneous or debased. Wow. All right then. Lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. In other words, you're creating idols. The likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven should be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God has divided into all the nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and sware that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go into that good land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over to Jordan all, but you shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything, which the Lord thy God has forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Woo, I feel his presence. Repeat, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. This is verse 24. Deuteronomy 4, verse 24. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and you shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. Wow! Wow! That you shall soon utterly perish from off the land, whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. Wow! And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek with thy whole heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God there, and shall be obedient unto his voice, this is key, bride. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there has been any such thing as this great thing is, or has been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you heard and lived? Or has God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? So the Lord is reminding all them who they are. Unto these it is showed, that thou mayest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and he brought thee out of his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than us, than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Now remember, bride, a lot of these cities they took were giants. They had built giant lands, and the Lord still gave them to them. In other words, nothing is impossible with God. Amen. All right, now we're on verse 39. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Then Moses severed three cities on this side Jordan toward the sunrise, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live, namely Bezer in the wilderness, in the plain country of the Reubenites, and Ramoth in Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan of the Manassites. And this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which Moses spoke unto the children of Israel after they came forth out of Egypt. On this side Jordan in the valley over against Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel smote after they were come forth out of Egypt. And they possessed his land, and the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, which were on this side Jordan toward the sun rising, from Arior, which is in the bank of the river Arnon, even unto Mount Sion, which is Hermon, and all the plain on this side Jordan eastward, even unto the sea of the plain, under the springs of Pisgah. All right, now we're going on to the last chapter for the day, which is Deuteronomy chapter 5. So we know now this is Moses. He's kind of laying down the law to everybody when they go into this promised land, what they need to remember and what they need to do. Amen. All right. Let's go down to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I spoke in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount of the midst of the fire. I just got to stop right here, Brian, because I just had a visual come to my mind. Now, I'm a sports person, which means I was a cheerleading coach for 13 years. I was a cheerleading coach. I raised both of my boys in football and baseball, and they played since I was 5 years old. I was one of them faithful moms that was down there at the ballpark five times a week. You know, I really believed in sports because I believed it brought discipline. And listen, no matter where I moved, I kept them in sports. No matter what happened in my life, sports and church. Anyways, I just had a visual of the football team, and they're down by halftime, all right? They're down, and they have been through a battle. They have been through a war. They've lost a lot of their friends in the battle. They've had to sit out the rest of the game, whatnot. I feel like this right here is Moses taking them into the second half. And Moses is telling them, look, team, yes, you had a lot of your family members die on the wilderness, but God is faithful. He will fight for you. He has fought for you. Remember what God did for your family. Remember what He did for you. Now go back out here and win this war, team. Let's go. Come on now. Pick it up. Basically, that's what I hear Moses saying to the children of Israel right now. All right, so let's go back to it. We're on verse 5. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not out on the mount, saying, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. All right, so he is confirming here the Ten Commandments. Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor your ox, nor your ass, nor any of the cattle, nor any stranger that is within your gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as you. Boy, that is something else we need to repent of as a nation. You know, Bride, I'm older than a lot of you probably. I'm 50 now. And let me tell you something. I remember the day when everything was closed on Sunday. Everything. Now, I did post it on whether Saturday was Sabbath or Sunday was Sabbath. You know, just wanting some advice from other ministers, like, when did it switch? How do we know which day it is or whatnot? But either way it goes, if you choose Sunday to be your Sabbath or if you choose Saturday, that day needs to be holy. And see, as a nation, we had chose Sunday, I guess, because, you know, when I was growing up, everything was closed on Sunday. You couldn't get anything on Sunday, because the whole nation understood the Sabbath. They understood God's law of resting. And when you think about it, Bride, look how many of our people, humans, since we have taken that law out of our land. How many are wrapped up in anxiety, wrapped up in stress, suicide, drugs, and it's probably because they're not resting. You know, it can be one system is what a symptom is what I'm saying. How important is it? It's so important, the Sabbath, that God did it himself. Isn't that something? All right, so let's move on to 15. And remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Neither shalt thou steal. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife. Neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. These words the Lord spoke unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tablets of stone, and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God does talk with men, and he lives. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us, if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more than we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as we have and lived? Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of these people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go say unto them, get ye into your tents again. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments, which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. You shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or left. Boy, I am hearing this by the Spirit, bride. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Woo! This is deep, bride. This is profound. Is this profound or what? Oh my goodness. So God is speaking to us about what we need to do when we step into the promised land. What is it, bride? Keep the statutes. Keep the Ten Commandments. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget all the mighty things that God has done for you. God is jealous. Don't change one word, not one tittle of what God has said. Basically, that's what it is. Tell your children. Tell your children. Don't have any idols. You know, don't create any idols of any animal, fish, or anything, any human type of deal. So I think we've learned a lot today, just the first 5 chapters, huh, Brian? It has been amazing. This is such a good Bible study. All right, Brian, I will see you tomorrow, and we will do the next 5 chapters. We're doing 5 chapters a day, and we're going to get them done before I go to D.C., amen, because I want to go with Moses all the way to the day he dies, and then I can go to our country's capital, to the White House, to visit the president. Hopefully, I'd love to see him while I was there. All right, Brian, well, God bless you.